All true believers either passed on or moved on. The church had abandoned the true Jesus and settled for just good morals and principles and good works and belittled Christ to just being a created being. No one in this church was saved. We also see this, the second thing. Jesus addresses their apostasy in verse 15 and 16. He says, I know your deeds. He said, I know that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were either one. So that you're, because you're lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. Let's unpack a few words here Jesus uses. He says, I know your deeds. Listen, Jesus sees what goes on in First Baptist Church, Vilplat. He sees what goes on in your life and my life. That's a guarantee. He says, I see your deeds. I see what's going on. I see what you believe. I see your motivations. I see your morals. I see your ethics. I see your principles. I see everything about you. What's going on? You're transparent before me. Jesus is letting this church of Laodicea say, listen, I know your deeds. And you know what? He had nothing good to say about them. No commendation, no encouragement to persevere, nothing about their good works in the city, nothing. Nothing. He goes straight to the point. I know your deeds, and let's address those. He says, you're neither cold nor hot. So Jesus begins to use this very familiar term to this church of Laodicea, this term lukewarm. You see, because now it goes to the water. You remember I told you about the water at Colossae being nice and sweet and cool to drink, and the water over in Hierapolis being good and hot and mineral baths that people could take for healing. They understood their water coming 5 miles underground, it was bitter, it stunk, and it was lukewarm. Not hot, not cold, lukewarm. You ever take a glass of salty water about lukewarm? You know, maybe you needed to gargle it and you actually swallowed some of it. And you go, get it out because that nasty. Think about what Jesus is telling them. You're lukewarm, that bitter, nasty, old, salty, mineral-based water. Jesus says, because you're lukewarm, he says next, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. I'm about to spew you out, just like you do your water. I'm spewing you out of my mouth. As nasty as your water is, that's the taste, church, that you're leaving in my mouth. It's warm, bitter, nasty. Jesus is basically telling, church, you make me sick. He's telling, he had no good thing to say about this church of Laodicea. He's saying, basically, you make me vomit. You make me sick. Oh, what a cry. You make me want to vomit. You carry my name, but you deny the very person that I am. You deny my very being, that I and the Father are one. As John 10 tells us. The third thing we see from this passage, that Jesus tells this church that they are deceived. Verse 17 of Revelation 3 tells us, as you say, I am rich. I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing, but you do not realize that you are wretched and pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Now Jesus goes from talking about their water system, he's now talking about their wealth. They were three roads came through there, high area for commerce, a lot of wealthy bankers and a lot of wealthy people because of the merchandise that was being sold and exchanged there. He says, man, you think you don't need a thing. You think you have it all together. You think you are wealthy people, but you're wretched. You're poor, you're blind, you're naked. In other words, he's stripping them down of everything they thought they were. They actually thought they were spiritual people. Their goodness and their good morals, they thought they were spiritual people, but they were spiritually bankrupt because they were lost. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says they were dead in their transgressions and sins. They were spiritually dead. See, this church's own self-identity was false. They had money and they were satisfied with their wealth and just trying to be good people. They thought they were rich spiritually above all the other people. They believed they didn't do and didn't need anything. You know, some of the hardest people to reach for Jesus are those who have it, who think they have it all together. And money many times fools people. They have a good car, they have a good house, they have a little bank account, good retirement, everything. They think everything is fine. They don't really need anything. And that's usually some of the hardest groups of people, not always, but usually the hardest groups of people to actually see that there's a need in their life, a spiritual need of Jesus, because they begin to equate it. Well, I'm a good person. I give some money to this charity and that charity. Listen, if you deny Jesus Christ, you're spiritually dead. All that wealth that you have stays behind you. See, this Jesus is trying to teach them that they were not who they thought they were. They were apostates. They knew about God, listen, and yet they still created a false God. They knew about Christ, and yet they created a false Christ. They knew about salvation, and yet they created a false salvation. And sadly, there are churches today that do the same thing. This wrong view of Christ will lead a person or an entire church to hell. And these people thought they had it all together. Thought they were doing it all right. Verse 17, Laodicea was a non-Christian church with a Christian name. Jesus says, you are wretched. Wretched means despicable and reprehensible and vile and abomination and detestable. I don't think that's where Christ wants us to be at. Jesus says you're pitiful. In other words, you're really very small. You're very poor. You're inadequate. You're miserable. You're insignificant. You're trifling. You're insufficient. He says you're poor. You're really impoverished. You're really needy and destitute and broke. But you think you have it all together. Jesus says you're blind. You're unable to see. You're visionless. You're impaired. You have this lacking of perception and lacking of discernment. Jesus is pulling back all what they thought they were. And he says, you're naked. You're unclothed. You're uncovered. You're stripped. You're exposed. And yet, you don't even know it. These are the things Jesus says, I see what's going on. And he has this list of stuff for this church. And he said, you really don't even know it. They were still dead in their transgressions and sin, unregenerate, unrepented, and unsaved. The fourth thing we see in this passage, that Jesus does offer grace and mercy to these lost people. He's addressing a whole church that had been apostates, who lived thinking that Jesus was not God, and he's offering mercy to them. Listen, he's been long-suffering with them, and there are a lot of people today that he's been long-suffering with. He's been very patient. Maybe that's you today. When Jesus says today is the day of salvation, he doesn't mean tomorrow, next week, or 5 days from now, 2 weeks from now, or when you think that you're ready, or when you can give up this, or when you can give up that. No, Jesus says today is the day of salvation. You know why? Because you can't give up anything without Jesus. You can't. You can go through all kinds of recoveries. You can go through all kinds of self-helps. You can kill all things that you think will help you get better. But until you surrender your life to Jesus Christ, nothing changes. Because if you could change it without Jesus, you would have already done it. Jesus says today is the day of salvation. He offers grace and mercy no matter where we've been and what we've done in life. He's offering grace and mercy to this church, this entire congregation of people who were lost. He says you can get it right. We see in verse 18, he says, I counsel you. In other words, I'm advising you to buy for me gold refined in the fire so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so that you can see. You notice how he addresses these things that they were familiar with. He says, I counsel you. Jesus is advising them. He's calling them to salvation to give them grace and repentance. Give them salvation if they will repent of their sin, put their faith in him. The next thing he says, to buy gold refined in fire. Jesus is telling them, come to me and buy without price, without money, without works, without religious practices, without religious rituals, without sacrifice. Come to me, it's free. He said, buy of me pure refined gold. In other words, it's free. I'm giving you salvation. Listen, I'm giving you the grace. He said, I'm giving you this avenue of faith for you to respond in repentance to me and believe. He said, pure gold, that pure faith, that salvation, that spiritual wealth in Christ Jesus. He's offering them salvation. Give up your false Christ and follow Jesus, the faithful, true one. Mark 8, verse 36 says, what would you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? He said, listen, I know you're rich. You have money all over the thing. You have property. You have all these things. You have great businesses. But that's nothing if you lose your soul. And right now you're on a pathway of losing your soul. Accept the pure gospel of Jesus as Messiah, Savior, King, Lord, Almighty God. This Jesus. Not this created figment Jesus that he's like an angelic being, or that many today think he's like a genie. You just wish a few times, and if you say enough of these prayers, and you do this, and you rub him just right, and you try to please God, then he'll give you whatever you want. That's heresy. That's false. Accept the pure gospel, this pure gold. You won't be poor anymore. Verse 18, the middle part of it says, you can become rich and white clothes to wear so that you can cover your shameful nakedness and salve to put over your eyes. Notice something what Jesus does here. He addresses the spiritual profit this church will increase as compared to what they currently have. Gold refined by fire, the salvation in Christ, so that you may be spiritually rich and eternally blessed in the kingdom. What I'm offering you is far more than all the wealth that you have. And white clothes to wear. You notice they gained their wealth by selling this glossy black wool that was beautiful, that people wanted and paid great money for. He said, listen, white clothes as compared to this black wool that helped make them wealthy. The white clothes is the righteousness of Jesus Christ covering us through his grace and his sacrifice. Jesus covers us with his purity and his righteousness. So you can grow. You can cover your sinful nakedness and the self-indulgent transgressions that you are living. And put salve over your eyes so that you can see. This area was popular for this salve, this ailment, that they could put for ailments over their eyes. And that would help with so many of the diseases and things that they suffered with. Jesus says, I'm gonna give you the real salve. To open your spiritual eyes. Your spiritual discernment by the Holy Spirit. Listen, you've been in darkness. You've been stumbling around in your own foolishness. Jesus will gain. Listen, open your blind eyes to truth that Jesus is Lord. Oh, you see how he's bringing this all together. Listen, he's even bringing it together for us and presenting the truth to us that he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. For today, Isaiah 61:10 says, I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness. Listen, Christian, you have a robe of righteousness that Christ gave you, not because that you're righteous in your own, but because you've taken on what Jesus had, His salvation, His death on the cross. You claimed it for your own, and you have that robe of salvation because of Christ. He called this church to repentance. Isaiah 55, 11 says, "And so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." Verse 19 of Revelation chapter 3 says, "Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent." Listen, this is a loving statement from God. A loving statement. Jesus rebukes to expose sin. Jesus always comes. He sends His Holy Spirit to convict us, not to make us feel bad about ourselves, but to bring us closer to God so that we will repent and get that sin out. He unmasks our wretchedness in the move to bring us to repentance. In regeneration, the Spirit of God, the grace of God is so sweet. Listen, we don't want to say no. Jesus has a divine affection for the church of Laodicea to be saved. Listen, God does not find pleasure in punishing anyone. Doesn't find pleasure in that. He wishes all would come to salvation in Christ. Repentance. Repentance. Verse 20 says, "Here I am." He said, "I stand at the door and knock," Jesus says. It's telling us, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. Listen, God is demonstrating divine mercy toward this church. Listen, metaphorically speaking, you have to get the picture here. Jesus is not actually in that church. He's on the outside. He's on the outside knocking to come in. Christian, maybe you're in a place in your life that you feel God is on the outside because you've made your world about you. And God is saying, listen, you know, give me some space here. I want to take over. Maybe you're lost here today and Jesus is knocking on your heart's door. And He's just asking to come in. Asking to come in. Jesus has given this church one final plea. Verse 21 says, "To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne." Really what that means is, listen, all those who are saved are going to enjoy the same inheritance I do. We're going to be in the kingdom of God for eternity, forever and ever and ever. I'm giving you my inheritance. You let me in. You're going to be spiritually rich for all eternity. All eternity. Verse 22 says, "Those who have ears, let them hear." Listen, this is what the Spirit is saying to all the churches, that salvation is open to whosoever will. Salvation is open. And Jesus says, "I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. Will you let me in? Will you let me in?" What's really neat when you get to this last and final church, this apostate church. If you think back of each church that we've covered over the weeks, each church really kind of stands for something that churches are going through today. They were legitimate churches with these legitimate problems. But it's amazing today how churches, even in 2019, can even still find identity with those seven churches. Seven is always a number of completion in Scripture. Wholeness. Jesus is saying, you all fit in here somewhere. You all fit in here somewhere. Where are you located, Christian? Where are we, First Baptistville Platte? We have to do evaluation under the power and the guidance and the love and leadership of the Holy Spirit. Where are we? Are we that an apathetic church? Are we one that are doing some really good things, but we've really lost our first love? Or are we that church, we're not being persecuted, but listen, are we the ones who are struggling? Or are we the ones who's staying at it, staying at it, staying at it? You see, we can identify ourselves somewhere in there. And it even comes home to each one of us individually. Where are you in your walk with God? Maybe personally you've been that one that's doing some really good works, you're serving, but your relationship with Jesus Christ seems very far. You're not praying. You're not reading Scripture. You're not spending time with God. You're not doing anything personal to build your relationship and to just sweeten that relationship even more. Maybe you walked away from your first love. Maybe you're experiencing some persecution at home, but boy, you're steady at it. You're steady at it. Steady at it with Jesus at Church of Smyrna. You see, we all kind of fit in there somewhere. Where are you, Christian, today in your walk with Christ? Because, see, the church is made up of the people. And each one of us play a vital part in how we relate, in our relationship with Christ, our relationship with others. Maybe you're lost here today. You don't know Jesus as Savior. Maybe you've done religious things like this apostate church, but you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. You've never repented of your sin. You've never given your life, invited Him over. You've never sensed God's call in your life, but you do now, because you realize that heaven won't be your home. But now, as I see Jesus, I want to be saved. I want to follow through with baptism. I want to do what God wants me to do in my life. Oh, today, wherever you are, God is calling you closer to Him. Let's pray together. Father God, today, thank You for the message in these seven churches. Lord, we see ourselves somewhere in there, and Lord, maybe in several places in these different churches, and we can identify that's us. Lord, this message was not only to the church of that particular day, but even today, You're trying to reach us individually, personally, and as a group. Oh, Father, I pray by Your Holy Spirit, You would reveal and open our eyes and show us the direction You want us to go in. In Christ's name, amen.